everyone. Welcome to the Snapcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jerry.
And it has been a few weeks, and I have to apologize for it. Started a new job here in the Navy, and to say I'm busy, I think, is a gross understatement. What do you think, Jerry?
Yeah, big understatement there. New jobs do new things to new people.
Yeah. Just to give a brief example, last week I think I put in about 70 to 80 hours in a five-day work week, not even the weekend. We've been doing a whole bunch of inspections on my boat, getting things ready for us to become an operational submarine for the first time in its life. So it's really cool stuff, but super busy with that. And it sucks because I haven't been able to play Magic, and there has been so much news in Magic that I can't wait to talk about. And so I was finally able to carve out some time. We're going to get this episode out. And then I go into shift work here soon, and I'm going to be on mids. So I'll be working from like 10 p.m. until about like 8 a.m. But we should still be able to get episodes out. It'll still be like late evening recordings like we normally do, and then transitioning forward. And then I have a few ideas to kind of make things more interesting here at the Snapcast. And the biggest thing is all about, you know, do I have the time to invest in that? But we'll get to that later. Definitely be sure to follow us on Twitter at Team Snapcast to get all of our latest news. And we got a great episode today, though. So we are talking Death of the MPL, for those who have not heard or seen, which you probably have. The Magic Pro League, it's dying. It's done. They're pulling the plug on it. And kind of in a way, we aren't surprised, are we, Jerry?
No, not in the least bit.
And we're going to get into that later. But we're also going to be talking about some good stuff, though. We got Paper Magic coming back just in time for Jerry's birthday, and they're already starting spoiler season, so there's a lot of good stuff. But before we roll into any of this, as always, Jerry, my man, how have you been? What have you been up to?
Been all right. Passed all my classes for the spring semester. Got a summer school class that is 6 credit hours, so still some investment, but it's not a full-time investment into the school right now, so I do have a lot more time to play test, etc. Health issues aside, I decided to pass another kidney stone. My kidneys are just being mean to me, but this time it wasn't as bad, but it still sucked. So, Magic players out there, stay healthy, drink water, lots of water. You should be drinking about 2,000 milliliters a day. That's a liter of Coke. So take that liter of Coke bottle, dump it out, put water in it. That's what you need to be drinking a day.
Wait, but you said 2,000 milliliters, and isn't that 2 liters? So wouldn't I need two Cokes?
It's a 2-liter Coke.
Okay, okay.
I made the liter of cola joke from
Listen, man, Troopers. I know a liter of cola, but also we had this thing called a boss of soda, all right? And that was the original liter, just throwing it out there.
Right.
God,
right.
I feel old. Anyways. It sucked, man, to hear you had another kidney stone, because I've seen guys on the boat get crippled by that, and it does not look like a good time. With an infection, and hydrocodone wasn't doing anything for my pain levels. I had to get kicked off the boat for that because they couldn't treat me. So I can only imagine then what kidney stones would do to one.
Oh yeah, hydrocodone doesn't do anything except it turns the pain from crippling to just purely irritating that you can't work. But that's out of me now. I went to the full CT scan. I have nothing in my kidneys right now. We are clear and ready to roll.
Awesome. I really hope you don't have to deal with recurring kidney stones, man. I know that can just be a huge pain, but dietary fixes, I've been told, help out. And of course, yeah, like you said, the key thing is hydration.
But anyways, so I want to get into this. What do you want to talk about first, Rob?
Oh, man. So Death of the MPL, this has been something that I have been eagerly awaiting getting into. Ever since the news broke, and it sucked because it's in the middle of my crazy working 2 weeks in 1 week style, and I really wanted to get into the article, and I've seen bits and pieces here or there, but from my understanding, there really isn't much out of the announcement. Just it's coming to an end, they're going to revamp it, and we're going to see where this goes.
That's kind of the assumption right now. The only thing that they've told us as far as MPL being cut, we have a year left of it. They're working on regional tournaments, so it's better than nothing. Like, we have something coming from them.
Yeah.
But nothing at a national or international level as of right now.
Like the big thing, though, is what I see this as is there's There's a couple subtopics I want to get into. This, like, what does this mean overall for the grinders? What is what's to gain now from that unlimited grinding, if you will, of trying to earn these like they had two different levels of points, because you had your online points and then you had paper points, but then paper points went away because paper magic stopped being a thing. So now all we had was online points. But what do those online points go towards anymore? If there's going to be no pro league, why?
They go towards nothing now. As right. It stands, the people who've been working there, they're going to get punished on this one the most. You've been working this hard to get to that point, and you did, and you made it at the last minute. Looking at you, Brad Nelson. We saw the tweet. He made it, and then not 2 hours later, he posts a tweet showing that they're cutting the MPL. I feel for him a little bit in that one. That's one of the most brutal feel bads ever. Like, you worked this hard, you got to the MPL, and now they're shutting it all down.
Yeah, like, I mean, okay, great. Thanks for wasting my time, in a sense. And it sucks. And I really hope that whatever pro league or, you know, like, pro group they decide to make, that they include Brad Nelson in that. Because, I mean, Jerry, we've seen him playing on the Star City circuit since we started grinding hard as a team, even back in 2014, let alone the time that he put in before that. Brad Nelson was one of the premier names on the circuit. But now it's kind of, you know, hard to see that grind on Magic Arena in a way. It's like, okay, great, you made Mythic, but what are you ultimately working towards? Because a lot of people, it's that goal of, I'm going to get into Rivals. I'm going to make it to the MPL. Well, if that's gone, what are you making it for? And I'm hoping with these regional tournaments in that they did announce, that this gives way to, and this rolls perfectly into our second little point here, Star City Games being the premier tournament scene. Sadly, only on the East Coast, but maybe they try to venture back out west again and go back to how they were before they migrated back to east of the Mississippi and occasionally visiting Dallas twice a year.
I'm going to be sad Sally here. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so either. I think that's big hopes and dreams, but
they've shown us that Star City Games can't rake in the crowds that Wizards can rake in Vegas. If they could rake in a crowd like that Wizards does with Vegas, then certainly there's investment in going out that far west.
Yep.
But they've never have, and I don't see Ben Blivis investing in that again.
No. Now, another thing, though, that could come about, and this is something that we've discussed multiple times before on and off the air, is that we see the big brands have their own series. So we got Star City out east. We have Nerd Rage that works up in the Midwest. Channel Fireball has done GP coverage, and they got close to like mastering that. There are some hiccups still here and there, but they could probably run something out west.
They probably could. I could see them or Card Kingdom, if Card Kingdom wanted to invest in that direction. That's always a thing. Nerd Rage, on the other hand, I think they have the best arena coverage ever.
Oh yeah.
I think they've perfected it. As perfect as it can get with how garbage tier the client is for what we're getting.
Yeah.
So I think Nerd Rage has definitely got that down. The problem with paper content, and this is something I've noticed amongst there have been two stores in the Chicago region that have tried to do the paper content streaming, and even a couple stores out west and east. And the thing is that none of them ever had constant faces on the screen. Like, you know how the Cubs back in the 80s and 90s had Harry Carey and Steve Stone?
Yeah.
Those were the guys who always announced the games for TV. Constant faces. Occasionally it would just be Harry Carey in a stand-in or Steve Stone in a stand-in. That was how it was. None of these series have tried to keep someone permanently in the seat. No one wants to because, well, people want to play the game. Because who's doing all this kind of coverage? The players. And what do the players want to do? They want to play. So we're caught in this weird limbo of they want this face of this stream to occur, but no one wants to take the role because they'd rather play.
They'd either rather play, or maybe their values or goals are not in line with the goals of the overall company.
Right. Content creation is something that is special and near and dear to many people's hearts. Like, Pleasant Kenobi is a good example of that, where that guy loved to grind back in the late 2000s, early 10s. But then he found that he was an okay grinder, but he found out that content creation was his calling. And now he's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Magic content creator. I think he's just behind the professor. So, yeah. You know, like you said, the goals aren't there for most of these people that are doing this.
Yep. So really, I would say the big takeaway, though, is just keep an eye out. Okay, this is now an opportunity for other groups, other companies to start trying to pick at, let's run our little tournament series. There's a plethora of avenues on Twitter, on Facebook, and that anyone can reach out to and see what small tournament or even medium tournament scenes are happening. And sadly, I mean, not really sadly, because I do enjoy them. Jeff Hoogland, okay, the Hooglandia Open has been growing and growing, and it is just incredible what a previous grinder, now content creator, has gotten into. And the reason I said sadly at the beginning is because this isn't a guy that is not loved throughout the entire community, and he's perfectly okay with that. Some of his content may even be kind of rough to watch because he does get toxic, and self-admittedly too from him, he did. And he quit Magic for a little bit, was focused solely on, I can't remember what different card games he's tried, or he's done
all of them. But I can definitely say he's tried them at least once on stream.
But then
the guy has a following.
Yeah, and he always gets back into Magic. And most of his gripes, I'll give it, they are legitimate. Like, there are times where, like, Standard is just unplayable or unfun, or Historic is unplayable or unfun. But we have gotten to a point, though, where these smaller groups are starting to capitalize on people not enjoying other content out there, which I think leads into the how and the why did the MPO die? Jerry, we got a few different bullets here. The first one I'm going to get to, these are in no particular order. I want to talk about the one that you have here second from the bottom.
Yep.
Okay. Teams were eliminated when it came to the MPL. There was no longer Team Channel Fireball, Team Haruya. I just butchered that. Excuse me.
No, that's actually correct. You said it right.
Nice. Team Lotus Box. Like, none of that really existed because it was all about the individual. Yes. And not only that, but it was the individuals fighting each other to maintain in the top. And then they would trim it.
To keep your job.
Yeah. And like, then they would.
This is fight to the death type crap.
And then they would cut it. They would say, oh, the MPL is going to go from 32 players to 24 players.
My favorite phrase for it is they're fighting to stay out of McDonald's.
Pretty much. And not as an insult to, you know, people who do work at McDonald's or anything like that.
Of course.
I mean, you really are. These people have set up now that they had a contract for a year. They got to stream. They got to, like, live the dream, if you will. I get to play Magic and get paid for it. I stream. I get these special events. I get, like, preview cards, all this other great stuff. And now all of a sudden, I'm out. I'm on the street.
But with that point, though, it brings me to the next – brings us to another point, is that these people that were streaming, they weren't picking up stream. They weren't picking up views. Like, the players were unsellable or unknown. You had – at best 10 people watching any guy stream on a given day. Like, you're paying this guy, I think it was $75,000 in salary, right?
Up to
try to get them to get them to stream, and only the average is in the low teens of the number of viewers per day. That nothing is getting out there. Clearly there's something going on here where people don't want to watch this person play Magic for some reason or another. Partially, I think you had a good point here. You wrote it down yourself, is the lack of advertisement and the lack of marketing of MPL players.
Yeah.
Like we're marketing Mr. Beast and Danny Trejo, but we can't seem to market Luis Scott Vargas or Reed Duke.
Or hang on, let me go through. And I mean, we've done this before. So for those of, you know, those of you out there who've been with us for a while, you've heard this. Star City Games did a fantastic job at marketing their pro players, their top players, whatever it is you want to call them. But when it comes to the Magic Pro League, like Magic MPL players, I have to Google it, and I probably couldn't name half of them off the top of my head. So, of course, we got BBD, Autumn Burchett, But then we start getting into like Andrew Cuneo. I only know his name from looking at the list. PVDR, PVDDR, yep, we know him. We know Javier Dominguez, Reed Duke, William Jensen, Martin Yuza. But then we got like Chris Vartek.
That's an old school player who doesn't do any real content.
Carlos Ramoa.
Don't even know who that is.
Let's see. Shota Yasuka. I'm sure I bet you that one.
Shota Yasuka is also an old school Japanese player.
So like you have, right.
Again, these are players that put that didn't even advertise themselves, let alone Wizards of the Coast didn't even advertise them at all either. The only reason that I know them is because I'm already invested in the game.
Right. Like, but like we don't know these ones. And then you get into the Rivals League, and my God, like, good luck. I'm going to Ivan Flock. Okay, I know Ivan Flock.
Okay.
This isn't updated for the recent cuts that happened, it looks like. But, like, there are Ben Stark, we know.
Yeah.
And you may know a few more than me, too, going through this. Matt Sperling, Mike Segrist. Like, I know some of the Americans. Luis Savaldo, okay, non-American there.
Yep, but I know Luis Savaldo. Like, he's been a name on the Pro Tour.
Yep, Matt Nass, LSV. So, some of the names we know, but Theo Montier from France, Greg Orange.
Oh, Theo Montier. Okay, I'm like, Montier, who's that?
Oh, sorry, Montier.
Gotcha.
But the advertisement isn't there.
They're not selling them. And that kind of goes into the other part, is that they're not really sellable players. There's no stories. None of them, frankly, are entertaining on their streams. Like, the most entertaining people on stream in Magic the Gathering are Caleb Durward, Jeff Hoogland, and then non-competitive streamers like Seth from MTG Goldfish or Vince from Pleasant Kenobi. Like, people want to watch those guys because they're entertaining. Like, these guys who are streaming that are trying to play, like, play, they're not entertaining at all. It's quite literally brick wall watching.
And then it's hard to market players because when you have a league weekend, you require everybody to stream it. And these people are pulling in, you know, 5, 10, 15 play, or 15 viewers or whatever, because they're all split across. They're going to their own, you know, all the viewers are going to their little camps. And yeah, like the main Magic channel might have 4,000 viewers. But I'm not going to see all these pros, though, in the next five, even. I may see one. But I'm definitely going to be seeing probably something along the lines of Caleb D, Jeff Hoogland, your significantly bigger streamers who are not a part of this MPL community.
It's funny you mentioned that, the league weekends too. Do you know how Wizards was actually streaming those events?
How?
They were hodgepodging them together. They were taking like player X's stream and player Y's stream and just mashing them together on a single stream. Complete, like, it looked bad. It was very hodgepodgey. You could tell they did not care to make this look good. Star City Games makes their streams look better than this. And even Star City Games is kind of hodgepodgey, but at least they have a little scroll bar up top, the bar on bottom, with a little bit of data flowing on it. That's fine. That's all we want. We weren't even getting that.
Yeah, like, but that, I mean,
that's bad. Like, come on.
This brings into another point we have here, though. Okay, Magic the Gathering, those of us, I mean, we really do. We love the game, right? We love everything about it. Spoiler season comes out, great. New decks come out, deck tech, the events.
But love playing the game.
But watching it? This is not a fun spec, unless you're actually invested in the deck, or you're prepping for an event the following week, and you're trying to see, okay, well, so, because it was pretty easy to game an open circuit, if you will. So, like, you would take a look and see, okay, we got SCG Atlanta going on. What are the big decks being played? How can I prep my sideboard for the following week in Knoxville or Indy or Columbus, wherever it may be? So you would watch the previous open, and you're there really just to collect data. That's it. You're not watching it because it's a super exciting game where someone's going to be able to, you know, like, pull a win out of nowhere. You may see the one-off deck, okay? We may have the Paul Conlon decks come up, and you got Jund Dragons just crushing face out of nowhere. But it's quite boring to watch.
It is not a spectator sport. Story time for you. This happened this Friday, and that's when this point really hit home. Shout out to my boy Richie. my redhead, my brother from another mother, my another redhead brother. We were playing at our FNM. It was round two. He was playing a five-color hodgepodge control deck. He loves to do this occasionally. You know, some of the suspect cards you'll see, Kaya's Guile, Bring to Light, that type of thing. But it wasn't the standardized list. Sure, whatever have you. And I was playing blue-red. I was playing the blue-red Through the Breach deck that I have fallen in love with. We went, as control mirrors go, about 15 turns of draw go, playing lands. Occasionally, I would cast an Archmage's Charm to draw two cards. Leah was looking at my hand, wondering why I didn't fire off the combo. Well, as a spectator, she doesn't know that I'm playing around 3 to 4 counter spells. I'm waiting for him to do something, and so I could back it up with 3 counter spells. It would be, the ideal was cast Through the Breach, back it up with remand, Force of Negation for free, because he could do it at the end of his turn. And we sat there forever. And by the time I actually did it, she's like, it took you that long to do that? That was the most boring thing I've ever watched. And that's when it hit home. Like, nobody wants to watch that crap. We want to play it, but we don't want to watch it.
No, and that's even drawn into some of the bans, right? Just the terrible gameplay that can happen from a 40-minute game one.
I mean, yeah, it's terrible gameplay from a 40-minute game one.
And, I mean, yes, it is, you know, some bannings do come about because it just makes unfun play. Mycosynth Lattice, unfun play, right? Just that turn 4 or turn 5 lock, all of a sudden you're out. Or,
but at least the game's over in that sense. Like, everyone knows who's watching is that this game is effectively over. Am I right?
Yep.
In a control mirror or control mid-range thing, there are turns upon turns where nothing is done. Now, this is kind of the issue with control decks, but they need, like I said, combo decks need to exist in the same way control decks need to exist in the same way aggro decks need to exist. If you take one completely out, you get sidewindered by one of the archetypes that might be just better than the other at a given time. They need to exist. But in their existence, it creates... You get issues where the games are just not being played. They are just turns of draw card, play land, go. And then that brings up the other issue of, well, if I don't have any lands to play, now we're playing this game that, oh wait, I'm not playing. You're the one who's playing. You just get to go turn 2, Tarmogoyf, turn 3, Liliana, turn 4, Bloodbraid, and I'm sitting there just going, hey, I only have one land. Can't do anything. And because you're being streamed, you have to play the game out.
Yeah.
Non-games. Like, got on my pony there on why the game is just unwatchable. That's pretty much it. Like, you can't... It's pretty unavoidable that the game is unwatchable in those instances, and they happen all too often.
Yep, and it's one of those things. But again, because this happens, and it'll happen over time too, where we get decks like this, it continues to make Magic not a spectator sport. And sadly, that draws into another one of our issues, was the few of us that really enjoy watching Magic is not substantial enough to warrant the massive investment, if you will.
You think there was a massive investment?
Well, quote, get to that unquote, in
a minute. There was not a massive investment in this. Not even close.
The only reason I say that is based on the prize support, or the prize support that was given out, the their little arena that they made with all the, like, the flame effects and everything, whenever they would have two players sit down in front of each other on a computer and play. All the development that went into Magic Arena, because I truly feel Magic Arena was developed to get this Pro League. Arena was step one. They wanted something like Hearthstone. And then step two was, okay, now that we got this, let's market our Pro League and make us a eSport. But now that's starting to...
Each of those steps was shortcut along the way.
Yep.
The client doesn't work right. There's a bajillion bugs with it. The tournaments always fire and there's something wrong with them. How the hell do you have a standard tournament fire and allow historic decks into the fucking format? Sorry.
No, you're good, man. You're good. It's true though. Like, the bugs that went into this, all of this just draws into player doubt. And it kicks quite a few out from wanting to do this grind because, oh, what's the point whenever what I'm playing on is going to crash is not going to allow me to actually go through my turn because it's going to rope me while I'm actually taking action, and they still do nothing about it. Or, oh, I'm just going to look at this one small event, and I'm going to ban a card based on it. And we're going to get to that next after we're done here talking about the MPL.
Oh, you're ready for an earful on that one.
But like all of this stuff, though, builds into lack of trust and getting that actual audience to want to buy into it. And yeah, there was still a significant number that had that dream, right, of getting into Rivals and getting into Pro League.
Of course, yeah.
But for, I would say, a portion of us that were doing that grind and seeing truly what it took, it's so much easier on paper. And I think that's one of the things that led to this Pro League failure was, and I mean, we were at the mercy of world events, right? We could not play paper. This was our only outlet. But why not Magic Online, where they have most of these bugs already figured out?
Like, because the client is not pleasing to look at.
Exactly. So they make this new one, but they shortcut it. And now they forget of all the little interactions that can occur in Magic, all the keyword text, all the abilities that can stack up.
Like when they designed it, they completely ignored the fact that modal cards change devotion costs when they flip. Like, how do you forget that? Like, I don't know. There's a certain point where there's enough. I know there's a lot of minutia involved in it, but if you're designing this program and you're aware of how your game works, shouldn't you know that this shouldn't happen?
You would think. You know what
I mean? You'd think that. The actual investment issue is that compared to other esports and the sheer volume of money Magic the Gathering made this year is the most that company has ever made in its entire history. So the amount that they didn't invest into the players compared to other esports, like other esports are picking up, like League of Legends Hearthstone picks up their sponsors and then their own company. They're all investing millions upon millions of dollars into these players and into these tournaments. Wizards only invested maybe $500,000 into players total, not individual players, but total. And in prizes, I think the most they had was a $250,000 prize payout for one tournament. In the grand scheme of things, you're not paying anything. You're not investing. There's no real reason, and based on Abe's rant from the last episode, the amount of money they made, there's no real reason why Wizards couldn't compete on a monetary level with Riot Games in the streaming content. None. They just didn't invest in it. They shortcut the hell out of that one. Now, on the business side of things, I understand why they didn't invest that kind of money into it yet. So that brings me to that point D on our list there. There was never an audience at all worth investing into. When your best streams are only garnering a couple thousand people at a time, is it really worth it to pump millions of dollars into it?
That's the thing. And without them actually doing this investment, it's difficult. And
I think they got scared out of that one. And you know what? Maybe it was a smart decision. On a business side of things, they've made so much money this past year. Like, wow. For a pandemic, yeah. They're not hurting at all. Not even close.
Yeah. But we got a couple other things we're going to talk about here.
Now, my end opinion on the MPL was I never liked it to begin with. I'm glad it's ending. And from the announcement they made, they clearly know that Magic thrives based on its social interaction. So going back to paper Magic obviously is part of it. And allowing them to focus on the gathering aspect of Magic might actually bring it back home to a more successful tournament series in the future.
Yeah, and I would like to see a comeback of the status level vice the exclusivity level, if you will. Yes. And that there was no limit to the number of Platinum Pros that existed, right?
No, there was no limit. It was based on the old system was, for the longest time, it was just Silver, Gold, Plat, and then Hall of Famers. Then they eventually introduced Bronze. I think they could bring that back.
And
no qualms.
Yeah, it would be very welcome to bring that back because now, right, it's not just like the top 32 or the top 24 fighting it out for those spots, which is cool, right? But they can do that just in individual rankings. But a player will never drop out of Platinum because another player beat them. Yes. They're still earning a certain number of pro points. And exactly. You can actually cheer each other on and not hope for the loss of that player.
Which is why they got rid of the ELO system back in 2010. Like, that kind of system right there incentivizes people to not play once they have their position. Isn't that what we don't want? We want people to play. Like, yep. I don't want the old system back, but with the caveat of if I get beat so many times, I lose platinum and go to gold.
Yeah.
Hell no. Mm-mm. Nobody wants that. That's not great. And you know what? I'm not even worried about the appearance fees thing. Yeah, I think it's cheap and contrived that they don't want to pay appearance fees for your Hall of Famers and your Platinum Pros. But you know what? Fine. If you don't want to do that, go for it. That's your business decision. But bring back the old system. The old pro system and the old Planeswalker point system was actually perfect. I really don't know why they felt the need to fix what wasn't broken.
Because it's new, it's innovative, it's going to draw attention.
Don't innovate when the attention is already there.
Exactly. Like
they've cut attention from tournament Magic almost completely since the MPL was formed, and all the attention is just to buying the product now. Commander has truly kept this game afloat. People love the product.
Now, real quick here before we get into two other topics, I forgot about one. We had a card banning recently.
Yeah, boy. Get ready for this one.
And it was historic. Jerry, I'm only going to limit you to about 8 minutes or so on your rant, just a heads up here, because there's a couple other topics I want to get to before our hour is up.
Okay.
But
I'll keep it easy peasy for you then.
But Thassa's Oracle has been banned out of historic, and the community is mixed on it. There's a whole bunch of people that praise that this two-card combo is finally dead, and I'm no longer dying on turn three or turn four.
Okay.
But then there's another community, though, that understands combos do exist and that sometimes you do run into it. And it's not like it was a guaranteed combo. I would not say, or I would go as far as to say it was not nearly as oppressive as, I'll go back to my old boomer days, if you will, I'll throw that in quotes, of Splinter Twin. Okay? It seemed like this was a little bit harder to pull off and it wasn't as dominant in the historic format. But
it wasn't even remotely close to dominating.
But because 50% of a league weekend registered it, that was one of their key takeaways for why the card deserved banning.
This ban was a hate campaign on the MPL side. A dying group, by the way. Like, we just discussed how the MPL is going away. Why do we ban a card based on what the MPL thinks? Clearly, we don't care what they think. We're getting rid of them. The deck was, at its peak, 6% of the winning meta. That is half of what the two best decks in the current in the meta were running. That's Jeskai and Gruul Aggro were by far and away the two best decks in the metagame. That's the Jeskai Magma Opus lists with your Teferis, your Magma Opus, and your Torrential Gear Hulk, and then Gruul Aggro with your Burning Tree Emissary, which was suspended and then they unbanned it. Clearly, there's a disconnect here, where Burning Tree Emissary is truly the card that's running the format. And they just run, both these decks would run that out of, would put, the combo had so many issues with it. There was a strict deck construction rule that you had to apply to it. You didn't always have it. It was very difficult to always have it on time. And too many decks were ahead of it in the format. They were just too fast and too aggressive, or able to out-control it. Jeskai Control was doing it. Gruul Aggro, Slesnia Company, Dimir Rogues, and the Orzhov Aggro Boggles list, these were all better decks. Like, this deck was only 6.1% of the winning meta. Brings into my other point where I mentioned Burning Tree Emissary being suspended and then unbanned, and surprise, surprise, it's still the Tier 1 deck of the format in Aggro. Collected Company is the most played card in Tier 1 decks. It's in 20% of the winning meta. That's the real problem. Like, we're going to ban a two-card combo because we don't like it, but let Collected Company continue to run the format into the ground in their minds. Like, what? The number of games you win when you cast a Collected Company in Historic is like 90%. If a single one resolves, you win the game. That's it. And 20% of the winning meta share goes to this deck, and nothing out of it gets banned. But I'm sitting here looking at a 6% meta share deck get a ban? Get the hell out of here. Like, it's such a bad ban. No, It's because the Wizards of the Coast just hates two card combos. That's why. It's dumb.
So I am looking at, so if you try to go to MTG Goldfish, they've already stripped Thassa's Oracle or Tainted Oracle from all of their meta decking. Or
yeah,
their meta listing.
Yeah, because people were making that argument. They pulled it off. I'm looking right now at the page. I'm like, it's not even here anymore.
But if you go to MTG Top 8 and you go even, so last 2 weeks, it definitely did see a spike. I'll give it that. Last 2 weeks, it saw a spike. Okay. They have on top eight, they have it at 33%.
Yeah, because MPL.
But right, that's because of, you have to think of the events that are actually registering it. And that's another issue too is, again, and we talked about this, it is difficult to innovate on a client where you cannot sell, trade, or otherwise transition your cards from one to another by any other means. Once you get a card on Magic Arena, you're stuck there. In Historic, only played, as far as I know, Magic Arena. It's not played on Magic Online. So all of that, it comes from this client where you have to spend wild cards to build a deck. And sadly, I mean, if this is the best deck, people are going to build it, right? They're not going to try to innovate and go against it, which is what we see a lot of times when you see these decks hit the 20 to 30% tile range. All of a sudden, that innovation is there. Why would I waste my wild cards on that when I can't do anything else than with those cards? Because there are cards out there that can beat this in multiple colors. You're not just locked into a, you know, blue for counter spells. There's other interactions that we can do to defeat the deck. But
there were aggro decks, tempo decks, and control decks were all able to keep up with this.
Yep.
It was a pure hate campaign to get it banned. Like, ridiculous. And they could have done this with Phoenix if they wanted to. They could have just all got together and said, hey, let's all 32 of us play Arclight Phoenix. It would get banned. Like, this is that weird power trip that the MPL has. This is why I hate the MPL. They control meta. They control ban lists, basically.
Yeah.
Then there was the articles and the videos on it. Constantly, people were like, this should be banned. This should be banned. This should be banned. What? Like,
I can only imagine if these resources were available back 2013, 2014, how quickly Splinter Twin would have gotten a ban then.
Like,
or other cards out there that we thought were overpowered.
Like,
I remember
Collected Company and Standard.
Yeah. Goblin Chain Whirler. Remember when that first hit the scene? Everyone was furious about it. And then you realize you could do Death Whirler combo in a way, and you can have a 4-mana board wipe in red and black. It's like, what? And like, people were kind of like losing their minds a little bit on it, but they never got banned. So it's interesting to see the development of the game, the expanse of the crowd, and how much it seems now the community, rather than actual results, are driving ban restrictions.
Yeah, it's purely based on people. Like, there's a furious dislike on the Wizards of the Coast side for two card combos. They hate it. So I'm waiting to see Through the Breach get banned in Modern. Just waiting for it.
Or, oh man, Neoform? Well, I mean, they've already neutered Neoform with the banning of Simeon's Bear Guide.
It only takes one chump to fire off Neoform, because it still works on turn one, just differently.
Yeah, you have to be more creative with it, but you still at least get Gristlebrand on the field.
Yeah.
Beyond
at least. That is my opinion. The ban was bad. The ban was based on MPL. For some reason, they still hold a power that they should not have. Right. When you are a dying group of people, instead of results being the actual dictation of this, you've based it on 32 chuckleheads getting together saying, "Hey, let's all register this dumb deck."
And that's like another thing that gets me too, is it was 32 deck, or there was only 32 players in this league thing. So they're going off of a super small average of an overall community for these results.
Right. When the most played deck by far and away, in most sense, is anything playing Collected Company. And I didn't even include, when I looked at Collected Company, I'm still looking, I didn't even include Stimmick Collected Company, which is also a deck that's climbing up slowly. That's 5% of your winning meta right now. Or 4.5%, but I rounded it up.
Yeah.
But you get the idea. Like, it's clearly, there's an elephant in the room that's not being addressed. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Well, thankfully, we do have some good news in this episode. Yes, for the past 40 minutes, we've been all doom and gloom. The MPL failed.
Are you kidding me? I'm happy that the MPL's gone. Give it back to the players. Like, I mean, this is what we want.
Me too. But we got some good news coming up, though.
I've got some real good news.
Paper Magic, they finally announced that Paper Magic is going to be a thing. We're looking at regional events. Stores will be able to hold sanctioned events. And I can't wait. I can't wait to finally be able to, once I'm done, on mids or whatnot, or maybe I'll be able to go play before I go into work. But to sit down across from someone, give them a fist bump, because handshakes are apparently no longer allowed. They haven't made any rulings against that. I'm just saying that people are probably not going to shake your hand.
Yeah, for some reason, so there were a lot of stores already running tournaments, but now Wizards has decided that they think it is safe for them to endorse in-store play now. They feel that they won't get sued if an outbreak happens in another game store.
Yeah.
That's their reasoning there. So you might have a few people who might get wigged out, but it's okay, guys. Coming from a medical professional here, you can shake someone's hand. Trust me, you'll be fine.
And it's going to be different. Okay, expect it. Don't go in there. If you are on the, on the side of the house where it's like, this wasn't a big deal, it was a flu that came through, and yes, it was, in the grand sense, it was a major virus that circulated, okay? But we're getting to that point where we can get back to normal, and getting back to that normal for us in the Magic community is going and playing Paper Magic. If you see people wearing masks, it's whatever. Okay. They may even require masks to be worn.
Yeah. An individual game store can do that. If the store says you must wear a mask to enter my business, that's their right.
And it's also their right to politely ask you to leave if you do not comply with the guidelines that they're offering.
Absolutely.
So just be respectful about it as we get back into Paper Magic. Okay. We're all eager to do it. Don't be a dick. But it's going to be interesting, though, because
I think most stores, a couple stores I've seen, are actually widening their play space.
Yep. Yeah.
Like they're taking, it's no more nuts to butts, asses to elbows type thing anymore. I think they are taking into account the space.
But I'll be curious to see how, once we start, I would say, the grand tournaments, opens and GPs, what they do about seating capacity and things like that, how they go about handling mask requirements, social distancing requirements, or whatever it may be. Because absolutely, I remember being jammed in a game store and probably on the verge of breaking like fire code for attendance, just shoulder to shoulder, you're scrunched up, play mats are overlapping each other, and you're just like, all right, guys, good luck, everyone. And you're there trying to play on your space and just have a good time.
Once you hit those Grand Prix level events, I think that kind of goes out the window. There's not much you can do about that.
No, not for it to be profitable.
Which is why they're opening it up slowly to, I think their biggest event is a regional size event that they're planning for, according to that announcement.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yep, because they can keep the attendance small, hopefully get like a little bit of a larger venue. And I'm hoping tournament organizers are going to recognize that we're probably going to lose on some profit, or not make as much as what we used to in the past, because we have to cut back on attendance. And attendance might not even be what it seems, what it used to be, right? Because there's still going to be a lot of people out there that are concerned. They're in the high risk category for the effects of the coronavirus, and they're not going to want to go out and play. And that's fine.
And I'll tell you myself, if you are a high-risk person, you have COPD, history CHF, any crap like that, don't go. Like, you're still in danger, very much. Real danger from this type of thing. But use your best judgment. Do what's best for you.
And not just what's best for you, but also what's best for the players. If you think you're sick or you are sick, stay home.
Oh my God.
It was common practice before. People would go to a big open or a Grand Prix, and then you get that crud. You get all the little viruses that everyone's carrying, or the little flu-like symptoms, and next thing you go home, and you just feel like garbage for a day or two.
There was a stretch of GPs I kept catching flu because someone brought that nasty crap with them because they wanted to make it to the GP. If I get that again, oh, I'm tracking. I knew who it was who gave it to me the last time. Like, I know you, and if I see you, we're going to have problems.
Yeah.
Because that guy gave me flu, or I was in the hospital for a couple days. That's how bad that was.
Just be responsible about it, and be accepting of your old playgroup's, like, intentions. If they don't want to go out and grind a GP, or they don't want to, you know, do that travel because they're concerned about it, that's their choice.
Do it yourself. I hate to say it's kind of a dog eat dog in that sense, but, you know, do what's best for you. It's your health, not.
Yep. Yeah. You may be vaccinated. The other person may not have that trust and faith in the vaccine, and that's fine. That's their choice. Just remember the community that existed before, right? We're all here to have fun. And if someone doesn't feel safe or they don't feel comfortable, it's okay. Also, don't shame the players that are going to go out and play. Okay, don't get up on your little soapbox and be like, people shouldn't be playing Magic in this store because there's still a pandemic.
Yeah, I couldn't stand those people 6 months ago, and I still can't stand them now. We
have unmasked guidance now. The CDC has deemed it safe for those who have been vaccinated and everything else, and the proper practicing of social distancing. And who knows? Maybe we've picked up some good hygiene concepts.
Hygiene practices. It's yeah. All good.
Like,
we're starting to look like Japan now. Good job, guys. We did it. Japan and Korea, it was normal to wear face masks.
Yeah, normal to wear face masks, continuously washing your hands and whatnot, being mindful of the surfaces you touch, all that stuff. And that's okay. But if someone's like going by the wayside of it, though, don't treat it like they're out there actually trying to kill you or anything like that, all right? It's just, don't interact with them. Don't be mean to each other. Just treat each other like people. It's okay. We're getting through it. And maybe one day we'll get back to a 3,000 person GP Las Vegas and have an absolute blast. I would
get on stream cracking stronghold packs.
Yeah, I would love to be able to get back out there. By the way, just off topic real quick, that stronghold box is like a $3,000 booster box nowadays.
We made a mistake.
Yeah, we did. But you know what, though?
No, it wasn't even a mistake at the time. We made money off that freaking box anyways. So.
We did. We made money off that box. But had we had those diamond hands, if you will. But yeah, it is what it is.
Sure. I don't.
I look forward to it. The changes to the Pro League are very welcoming. I hope to see something else that is more realistic for the average player to strive for.
Old Planeswalker point system.
Yeah.
Just go back to it.
Let's bring that back. Julian John was fantastic to talk to about his grind with achieving the top spot on that. And it doesn't even have to be top spot in the world. You could be going for like top 10 in your state because you can track it by that. It was a wonderful system, and it's a shame to see it go away. Hopefully they bring it back. Paper Magic's going to come back, and it's going to be just as fun. Go out, support your local game stores. They've really appreciated your support so far, but talking to a lot of store owners, they cannot wait to open up that play area for sanctioned play and not be worried about Wizards pulling their WPN status because they're hosting an event.
The good news is Wizards did none of that through the entire pandemic. Wizards actually did like the most amazing business decision here. They let the stores handle it themselves, but pulled back their ability to use WPN to sanction tournaments. That best decision ever right there. Whoever made that decision deserves all the credit in the world and a raise.
They get a pat on the back.
They get a pat on the back for that one. Like, let the stores do what they need to do to stay open, because the last thing you want to do also is to just kill your libido and be done with your entire tournament scene.
Exactly. Now, I would love to get into some Modern Horizons 2 and D&D spoilers right now, but sadly, our time is up for this episode. So next week, we will be spending a lot of time talking about spoilers, possible new decks that could be coming out Modern, because that's one of the greatest things we like. And then also some tournament results, and again, some possible new changes coming to the Snapcast to try to bring better content and more content to y'all. We want to thank you all continuously for the support that you provide us. And remember, we are in the running for the Magic the Gathering Content Creator Awards at mtgcca.com. Go on there, register, become a voting member, and vote for the Snapcast as your best small audience podcast. Top six will get recognized. It would be an absolute honor to be in that. But I know already we're doing fantastic because you are listening to us, and we can't thank you more. Be sure to follow us on all social media outlets, and as always, be sure to check out the Magic the Gathering Players Group on Facebook for all tips, tricks, whatever questions you have. The community is outstanding. Let me take a look at it right now to see how many members we currently have in there. We have almost 8,000 members in this group worldwide asking about different tips, tricks, ideas, just to get better at the game, getting into the game, or trying a new format. Very welcoming. Very rarely do you see anything condescending, so ask any question you may have and you will get the answer you need. But that's going to do it for us. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. Have a fantastic evening.
Oh, snap.